Alright, so the question of mitzvahs, tzrichos kavana, ain't tzrichos kavana. It comes up, where does it come up? Where does it come up? Basically, mainly it comes up here in the Rosh Hashanah. And in Pesachim a little. Right? We're doing it in Brachos. Same question. It goes round and round. So, it's a very general question. I mean, it's a very broad question. It's a very broad question. It's not clear what is the question exactly about. What's the issue of the question? Is it a logical question? Is it a question of what the tzivui is? Yeah. And then there's really three levels, right? There are three levels, theoretically. Someone's trying to call in or something? No. So there are three questions. There are three levels, really, theoretically, right? There's the one level is the mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Right? In other words, that you need to do the mitzvah with the kavanah of the mitzvah. And then if you hold mitzvah sein tzrichos kavanah, then you have to be mechalik again. Right? You have to make a distinction between doing a mitzvah without kavanah and not doing a mitzvah at all. Right? And the bottom category is generally termed misasik. You're not even doing a mitzvah without kavanah. Right? Yeah. So the question is if we can try to work out some logic of defining these categories. Alright? That's the question. The Gemaras are good, but I think unless you try to think it through a little, it's going to be difficult. I think you're better off trying to think through the topic a little, and then we'll see the particulars in the Gemara. All right. So how should we approach this? Okay. Yeah. So like we said, like I said this morning, the question is mitzvos tzrichos kavana or ein tzrichos kavana. But what is mitzvah? I mean, it seems a mitzvah is a special case, right? It's a special case of what? Let's put it this way. I'm taking the approach that there's a logical question over here. It's not just a question of what the tzivui is. There's a certain logical question of when you consider the person to be properly doing something. Right? In particular, the maisa of mitzvah, when is a person considered to be engaging in it? Okay, so it's really we're discussing the class of maisa, right? That's the subject matter here, action. Okay, so what is necessary for action? What's the most basic necessity of action? By the way, mitzvah is not always action, but that's what we're discussing here. What's the most basic? What are the most basic elements of action? Well, let me ask you this: When the sun rises, is that an action? When it rains, is that an action? Something. It's not an act. What's it missing? A doer, right? Now, so the most basic components of an action is you need some sort of an event, and you need a gavra, you need a doer, right? Other things we call events. We don't call them actions. Things that happen without a particular doer, we term those things events. Mitzvahs are not events. Mitzvahs are actions. Okay? So if the mitzvah were to occur just spontaneously, it wouldn't be anything. It wouldn't be yotzei. A mitzvah is a form of an action. By the way, in common speech, what do you call a hurricane or a tidal wave? No one here insurance? No insurance brokers here? It's an act of God, right? So you see, act definitely always needs a doer. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you need an event, and you need a gavra in order to be dealing with action. Otherwise, you're not dealing with action. All right. Now, really, the gavra, I think the gavra plays two roles. Okay? The gavra plays two roles. Like, what would you say, let's say somebody does something in his sleep. Right? Gets up and he puts on his tefillin and he takes the luluf and he's sleeping. Right. What do you say? So what are you saying, Simon?
It's just an occurrence. It's not the product of every will.
Okay.
Isn't that
the
same thing as what we were saying before? I'm saying that you need will, not just a job.
Oh, so that's the point over here. So you can say it's a human event. I mean, a person did do it. I mean, it might be. Person running under psychological forces, it's not the wind blowing. So it is a human event, and sleepwalking is a human phenomenon, right? So the gavra does play a role in breaking the phenomenon away from nature. I mean, you could say that the psychological makeup is just part of nature itself. But anyway, but the point I'm trying to bring out is another element is that the main element is will, right? So the guy, you might say the guy did it. I mean, let's put it this way, without nothing, just common, the way people look at things. The guy did something when he was sleeping, you would say he did it, but you would say he's not responsible for it. Right? No. You're close. You're thinking of a case. You're right. There's a case. But what's the case? Right. No. It's only because you went to sleep there. You were pushed there. That's why. If someone put it there when you were sleeping, then you would not be chayav. You're not chayav for the action you did in your sleep. You're chayav because you should know that you might do things in your sleep. So you shouldn't put yourself there. It's only because you went to sleep with the thing there. You know what I'm saying? It would be like putting it in a place where a ruach mitzuyah could knock it off and break it. No different. You just treat it like a force. You just unleashed a force on it. But you're not chayav for the thing you did while you're not chayav as a mazik in your sleep. You're a mazik when you went to bed. You weren't a mazik in your sleep. Yeah, so you'd say that the person is, it's not the object of his will. So gavra really, essentially, what gavra, the introduction of a gavra is saying that being an action, part of what we consider an action is as the product of a will. Right? Of a will, of design. You might say the sleepwalker is not... He doesn't have that in terms of the gavra. I mean, let's not get into the sleepwalker, get into, you start getting into strange hakiras. But basically, The Torah addresses the gavra of das. Sleepwalker is not a gavra of das. Okay. But it's not natural. That's the only point I'm trying to make. You can break up. You can separate out a natural event. Gavra could say it has two things. It is not natural. That's sort of like a negation. But the positive element that we're really looking for is that it's a product of will. Okay. Huh? Thing. Right. So what I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to draw out is that the gavra has, there's two elements to the gavra. One is that it's not memela. You can't call it memela anymore if there's a doer. Right. It's not just part of the laws of the order of nature. There's a doer. Right. But it's also that there's also an idea of being the product of a will. That's what gives it the. It would seem that that's what gives it the nature of. That's what gives it the full term of being an action of the person. Right? I'll give you an example. Let's take a halachic example. Okay. Let's take a halachic example. Yeah. Let's take a little example. So let's take the case of Shechita. Okay? The question is like this. Halachically speaking, we're positing now every Maisa, in order to be a Maisa in Torah, in order to qualify as mitzvah, it's going to have to require not only the action, but a gavra, a doer, right? Because that's the minimal. Those are the two minimal. You need those elements. You need the action plus the doer. Without the doer, if you just had the action, you still have a maisa. You have an event, but mitzvahs have to be maisa, not just event. So I told you, if you look at the halacha of shechita, you see the most minimal relationship that's required between the gavra and the maisa. See, now that we have the two elements, now it comes down to the question. Now that we have the two elements, what we have to explore is the relationship between these two elements. Okay, the relationship between the two elements. How closely does the gavra have to be associated with the maisa? Okay. So broadly speaking, the gavra could be simply the cause, right? Or he could really be the doer. Okay, and that's the difference is going to be what I was trying to bring out with the sleepwalker, which is not a good example, really. I'd rather remove it. Because you could say a person who's sleeping is not a gavra in halacha. You could say that. You could say he's like a monkey. But the truth is still, the fact is still there that when a person... When a person can relate to the maisa, to the event, in one of two ways. He can be a cause of it, right? Meaning that it wasn't just a natural event. The event occurred because of the Adam. Or that it's even the product of his will. Okay? Now in halacha, you have both examples. Shechita is an interesting example. What's halacha by shechita? So shechita is the closest you're going to come to a type of a thing that's just really that's essentially the event, right? Because what is shechita really? It's not a maisa mitzvah. It's not a chov. Okay. It's not a mitzvah that in the sense that it's something you have to do. If you don't want to eat meat, you don't have to do shechita, right? It's really a machshir. It really prepares the animal for a heter achila. It transforms the animal from iser to heter, similar to mikvah. And they both have similar halachos in this sense. So you could say, look, what makes an animal kosher? What makes an animal kosher? How would you say it? What makes an animal kosher? So you'd say, well, if the animal dies, tell me what's wrong with the statement. If the animal dies from a cut to its windpipe and esophagus that severs them mostly, the animal is kosher. And all the knives are good and everything, right? That's not true. That's not true. Why is that not true? Because that could be an event. Right? So that's the description of the act. That's the description. That's the physical description of what a shechita is. It is the severing of the koneh and veshet. Okay? It's the severing of the koneh and veshet of a live animal. That's the physical description. That's the physical tzura. Okay? But what is necessary? What is necessary? It has to be what? What do you need here? It's interesting. What do you need here by shechita? You just need the exclusion of nature. Right? You just have to exclude the natural. Did you see the halacha? So what's the halacha? Mitnik, you see the halacha? No. Has to be done by a human. But even more interesting. Let's say I take a knife and I throw it. Johnny, where's Johnny? Let's say he takes a knife and he throws it, right? And on its way to the target, because Johnny doesn't miss, on the way to the target, a hapless bird flies by and its neck gets severed by the, perfectly gets severed by the knife. It's good. What?
No, I'm just trying to figure out what exactly Johnny does with the knives.
You know what I mean. Right? So what's the halacha? The halacha is good. It's good. Let me find the halacha. Yeah. Ein shchita tachul in tzricha kavana. Right? Ein shchita tachul in tzricha kavana. El afilu shocha ke misasek. The dreaded misasek. Even misasek over here is okay. O derech schok. O shezorak sakin lenoatza bekoso v'shochta b'halichoso. In any which way you do shchita is good. Doesn't matter. You're joking around. You're playing games. Even if you're throwing the knife to stick it into the wall, and a shechita occurs on its way, ho'il v'ashechita karo'oi bimkoma v'shi'ura ha'rezu k'sher. Since the shechita was proper in its place, the neck and the right shear is k'shera. Therefore, a cheresh or a shota or a katan or a shikar or some crazy people, right? Anyone who is under some insane, ruach ra, whatever it is, that they did shechita, as long as someone makes sure that it was done properly, is kshera. Oval sakin shenofla v'shochta. But if a knife just fell and it shechted on its way down, afal pi shechta kedarka, harezu psula, no good. Shenema v'zovachto. Right, you. Ad sheyiye hazoveach odom. V'afal pishenem eskavim l'shchita. So you're right, maybe you're right. The sleeper would be good. Right, sleep is no different. Anyhow. So what's the din over here? The din over here is, it makes perfect sense over here, that what? Now what's the most basic definition of a shechita? It's that it's not a natural death. right? I mean, that's the main element over here, and it can't be a part of its natural occurrence. So as long as it comes from a koach adam, as long as it's a koach adam, it's a shechita. A shechita really is a certain type of an event, but not a natural one. Has to be caused. All you need is that the adam is the cause. All you need is that the adam is the cause. It does not have to be part of his kavana. This has nothing to do with Mr. Sricha's kavana. I mean, many hold Ram holds Mr. Sricha's kavana. This is completely out of this question. This has nothing to do with this mahogas. But I'm just trying to show you, we've got to, just to think about the inyan. We got to. It's helpful to try to define similar topics, similar points in the overall inyan.
What do you hold about Brahma?
Well, that's the next case over here. Right. Okay, so Ram has that's the case of the Gemara, by the water wheel. So in other words, if a guy has a water wheel attached to a knife, and he releases the water, so the first turn will be considered mikoach adam. After that, it's just the water flowing naturally. That's like people, mishabura as a heter, to wash your hands with a faucet. Right, because it has to be koach adam. So he says you have to turn it on and off and on and off. But only the first pouring is considered mikoach adam. Right, and if you turn on the water and it runs for hours, you can't take credit for the. It's not koach adam anymore. But anyway, the point is that you see how far it goes by shechita. That it just has to be mikoach adam. The event has to be a human event. Shechita can't be a natural event. That would be a type of sasi or shechita. But so too by mikvah. By mikvah. If a woman would just fall into a mikvah, she'd be a tara. Not for the mikvah, not for mizbeah, not for kachim, but for regular isur nida. Okay, so I'm trying to say what we're trying to get at over here is this seems to be the furthest connection, the least association between the gavra and the maisa. Just that it's mikoach adam, just to be motzi it from, and in this case it's interesting, even if it's not a bar mitzvah. Right? It doesn't even have to be a bar achi, a mitzvah. It doesn't have to be a bar chiyuva. It could be a katan or a shota. Just has to be a human. It's interesting. Just has to be a human. Yep. Okay. And then the example I gave you on the opposite side, right, was in certain cases, The kavana is the ikar. The kavana is the ikar. Right. I'm trying to give cases where there's no machlokas, where it's double pashut. Right. So here's the event is the ikar. Just has to be qualified as human. But there's certain cases where the kavana is the ikar. What's the case where the kavana is the ikar? Like by kinyanim. By kinyanim, right? By kinyanim, you have the opposite thing. That everybody agrees. By kinyanim, it basically goes by the das of the by the gemiras das, and the ma'isa kinyan is just an expression of gemiras das. As a matter of fact, I didn't give you this example, but so there are two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is that if it's obvious that the person is only making the kinyan for one particular reason. And that particular reason doesn't come to be the kinyan is bottle. Doesn't have to make a tanai. Right? What is the case the Ram has over there? By what's that? Right. The guy's son goes away, and here's that he dies, and he gives away his property. And then the kid comes back, it's obviously it's not a good matana. Shadvarim mochichim sheilu yoda shevno kaim lo hayanosin kol nechasav. Aye, but technically he did a ma'isa matana. Mitzvah saying shvichas kavana. Right? It's not an issue. It's not an issue over here. Shvichas kavana, shvichas kavana. The whole thing is kavana. That's the acre of the whole thing. The olam omdim das hanosin. Im hayadvar marin sof daita osin alpia omed. A lot of cases where you try to figure out, was he a generous guy? What would he have wanted to give his kids? You know, all types of situations like that. Not only that, there are certain cases where you don't need a mice at all. Certain kinyonim that you don't need a mice at all. Like Gemara says, things that are discussed at the tish don't need a kinyon. Things discussed, the tanoim before the chuppah, don't need a kinyon. Just the dibur itself is not. Because everybody knows, they're very serious. There's no question that these things are agreed upon. Not just saying things. Generally, a guy can say, I was just joking with you. You know, I didn't really mean it when I said I'm going to give it to you. I had something else in mind, whatever it is. Certain times where it's clear that that's what he definitely wants. You don't even need the ma'aser kinyan. Okay. In other words, basically, essentially, you need an expression of his will. That's essentially what we're looking for. We formalize kinyan to say that if the person goes so far as to do the ma'aseh, so that then he's formalized his will. But like Rav Chaim says, the ikar of shtar is the ikar of kinyan is gemiras das. That's the ikar, gemiras das. So it's not shayach to say. It's not shayach to have the question is. Kavana, you need kavana or not? The whole thing is kavana. Or the way you'll see, some rishonim learn the kavana of the first pasuk of Shema. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not. Some want to say that that's also not a question of mitzvah shichas kavana. That's the mitzvah itself. Kabbal salmochus shemaim. You just can't do kabbal salmochus shemaim without kavana. Not a question of mitzvah shichas kavana. It's a question of the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is a certain mental action, a certain acceptance. You can't do that without kavana. But it's not a mitzvah tzrichas kavana issue. Okay. So we've picked away the edges. But what are the questions? What's lying in the middle? There's one more issue I guess we have to discuss. There's one more issue we have to discuss here. Yeah, the question of mitzvah srichos kavana or in srichos kavana is it's easier to take the mitzvah in srichos kavana side, because that's the side that breaks out the kavana from the maisa. So you have to do at least the maisa, right? You have to at least be doing the maisa. And that's why we say misasek is no good. There's a point where you're not even considered to be doing the ma'aser. But the question is like this. Sometimes can we say, like we were thinking about in Rashi, that the kavana is part of what he's considered to be doing in the first place. In other words, mitzvos tzrichas kavana means to say that there is something that we can call the ma'isa of the mitzvah, and you have to have a certain purpose in mind when you're doing that. Okay, and Mitzvah Sein Srichas Kavana is saying as long as you're doing the ma'isa, you're okay, right? But as we discussed earlier, part of Maisa is that there's an event and that there's a gavra, and for most things we don't term something an action until it's not just caused by the person, but done by the person as an expression of his will. For instance, if somebody were to throw the knife and cause a shechita, you wouldn't say in the same sense that he shechted the animal as if a person took an animal and the knife and willfully performed the shechita.
Is that an issue of the it being a maisa though, or just the maisa being connected to him? So saying it would be a maisa, it just would be questionable whether it was.
But that's what we're saying maisa is. I mean, aren't we saying that what differentiates something, an event from a maisa, is the fact that there's a doer, right? So let's explore that a little more carefully. So what we really were saying by the shechita is that you don't really need a maisa shechita. You don't need a maisa shechita. You just have to be an event of the shechita that's not memela. Has to be a shechita that is caused by an adam. In other words, let's put it this way. So there still is a tremendous difference between the knife throwing shochet and a shochet, right? In other words, in one case, the maisa of the shechita really happened accidentally. It was not the product of a will. There was no will that directed the severing of these simonim. Right? The severing of the simonim was not the product of will. The only product of the will was the flight of the knife. Okay? As opposed to someone who takes an animal and willfully severs the simonim. Correct? I mean, if you can't differentiate between those two cases, then you have got a lot of free time in your hand, because there's not much for you to do. You better take up another hobby. So how do we differentiate between these two cases? I mean, it's simple, it's obvious, but I just want to try to draw out from the simple. Maybe we can get extrapolate something a little. So we're saying that what? So by what virtue do we call that a maisa then? Now, what I'm saying is like this: that so by virtue of what do we call that the shechita a maisa? Let's leave that case alone for a minute. Let me give you another example. Let's take another example. This is a point. I'm trying to get to a certain point here. Where does the will come in? Where does the will come in? That's really what's important to me, to understand how will plays a role. If I can understand shechita, I can say, okay, you don't need will for the action of the shechita itself. Why? Because shechita basically, the mice is very unimportant in shechita. Basically, the ikkar of shechita is the effect. The ikkar of shechita is the effect that effectively the simonim are cut. And the thing is, it can't be a memela effect. It has to be an effect that's grounded in maisei adam. Right? I mean, there are very few, there's no requirement of the knife, for instance. The halachas of shechita are not, there's no specific way to do it. I mean, you can go up and back all day long. It's mainly just a psulim. Right? They mainly are psulim. But the maisa is defined from the fact that it demands a certain effect. The effect is done, then you can say that the maisa was done. And now it's just a question of if this maisa was bo mikoach adam or not. Okay. But in other cases, we don't know what you're doing. We can't necessarily say what you're doing. Let's put it this way. Maybe this is the point I'm trying to find out over here. Is that in terms of the maisa, you can define the maisa from its effect, but you're not going to define the gavra just from the effect, right? In other words, that's the difference between the two cases. In one case, the guy is basically a knife thrower. The other case, the guy is a shofet. In other words, defining the gavra. What's the gavra osek in? What is he doing? What is he a doer of? So we say he's a doer of the thing. He's a doer of the event that's the product of his will. Okay, you don't need a shochet. You don't need a shochet for shechita. Even a katan or a shota can do it. You don't need the shochet. You just need the maisa, which can be defined apart from the gavra, and it has to be human, not natural. Okay, but in terms of unifying the unification of the action, which is both elements, right? Both elements, the gavra and the maisa. That unification only occurs when what happens is a product of his will. And then we'll say he is a blank. Right? He's a knife thrower. He's a shochet. Okay? So in certain cases, even if you have an intention for the action, that's not enough to define you. We need to know more. For instance, imagine the scene. A man is lying on a bed. Another man approaches with a knife, plunges the knife into his chest. Okay? What is he? He's either a murderer or a surgeon. You don't know. He's either killing the guy or healing the guy. That was a little bit of a Rorschach test. But, both of the men have kavana for the maisa of cutting, right? They both have kavana for the action of cutting. So what more do we need to know? What more do we need to know? Yeah. Okay, so in a general sense, what's going on over here? What's going on over here is that one maisa, the same action of cutting, could be part of two different, we have to call them activities. Okay? The same action can be part of different activities. Okay? What is the difference? What is the difference? How would we define it more precisely? What's the difference between the killer and the healer? I guess you'd say which principles are guiding his action. Right? What principles are guiding his action? What is his action an expression of? Is he guided by the principle of the quickest way to kill a man? Or is he guided by principles of medicine and the damage to the body versus healing the body? I mean, what is it? What's he guided by? What's the cut guided by? Is it guided by an aggression or is it guided by a seichel? Is it coming under Torah's medicine or Ritzicha? I mean, the action itself is not as important as what's guiding it. So basically, though, what I'm trying to say is that now you see that not only is there a will in terms of the particular action, but sometimes we have to make recourse to the will of the overall activity. I mean, in Shabbos, this is prevalent in Shabbos. This is the whole scope of Shabbos. Malachas Machsheves. Is the guy destroying the building to build, or is he destroying the building to destroy? What's it a part of? What process is it a part of? It was the cut of the knife is a snapshot of an extended process. Could be two very different processes converge on one point. And it's not clear which process is taking place. Is it the process of killing or the process of healing? Right? But the question is, which process is it a part of? Is knocking down the house a process of destroying, or is it a process of renovation? Right? Can't judge sometimes just by the action. So in those cases, it would seem that there is at least room over here to say that sometimes kavana can play a role, even aside for the issue of mitzvah tzrichas kavana and ein tzrichas kavana. Just simply a question of what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? What is it that you're really doing? I guess my objective is if we can identify, how kavana relates to ma'aseh in different cases, maybe will help us to identify what it means to have the kavana l'shem mitzvah or not having kavana l'shem mitzvah. What type of kavana are we talking about over there? Right. I mean, we haven't really discussed purpose. In all of this stuff, we're not really discussing what we would call ultimate purpose. Why do you want to heal this person? Why do you want to kill this person? Right? And even the killing case could be good, could be bad. You don't know. Could be the guy is going to do tremendous harm to you if he wakes up. We're not going into that type of a purpose over here. We're not going into to the question of why. We're trying to stick with the what question. What is it that you're doing? People have all types of motivations to be a doctor, to heal somebody. Some good, some bad. It's none. I mean, it's neither here nor there. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we can say that in order for the ma'aseh, so let's take the case of the shofar. Let's take one of the cases of the shofar. Okay, let's say a guy is just blowing air through the shofar. Right? That's all he wants to do. Whatever it is, something's stuck in the back of the shofar. He's trying to blow air through to get the thing out. And a coal emerges. Right? So that would be like the shofar case. Right? Means you would not be able to say that the coal is a product of his will in any way. Right? That would be the best you could say is that an event occurred through human intervention. Right? So why is Shechita different than all these other mitzvahs that we're talking about? I mean, I guess that's what we have to get down to, right? Why is it that what is the main difference between the Shechita and everything else? So that's what I was trying to get at before, that the ikur of Shechita is not the ma'aseh itself, even from the Torah's, even from the basic halacha, it's just a machshia. It's just if you want kosher meat, this event must occur. But v'zavachta, the event must occur through you, right? But mitzvah is not goal oriented. Mitzvah is saying this ma'isa must occur from you. You have to. Mitzvah is different. It's not that. It's not that there must be a coal produced. Right. The tzivoy is the ma'isa itself. Now the only way that you're going to be able to say that you did the ma'isa is if the ma'isa is a product of your will. Otherwise, at best, you can say the ma'isa occurred through koach adam. Right. It means by shechita, I can eat anybody's shechita. It doesn't matter. It's not a mitzvah for me to do shechita. It's just that the behemoth has to have a certain hechsher. There's nothing in the tzivoy that attaches to the gavra in particular. Nothing in the tzivoy that makes it that there has to be a maisa and an osa, and I have to define myself as a shochet. It's just if I want to eat kosher meat, it has to have this effect, but not a natural effect. This is not a natural effect, it's a human effect. But everybody seems to agree that by mitzvah you don't look at it that way, right? What you would call a misasek by shechita is good, but what you call a misasek by mitzvah is no good. Why? So everybody agrees that by mitzvah, at least, you need the maisa. You need to be able to fully say that the mitzvah occurred as a maisa. But mitzvah only occurs as a maisa, as opposed to a human event. It only occurs as a maisa when the event is the product of your will. No? So if I blew through the shofar to get something out of it, and a coal came out, you can't call that coal a maisa tekiya. You can say the coal occurred through his askus, a general activity of the gavra. I was a misasik. I just was a generally active person, and through my general activities, a coal came out. But you can't say I was an osa akol. Just like the knife thrower is not a shochet. Okay? So that seems to be the kuliyama, that for mitzvah, that's at least what you need. Correct? Okay. So now it becomes a little bit more, if you want to take it one step further, you say, well, what if the person needs to make the sound in order for something else to happen? Right? But all of his kavana is the something else. Right? That's his kavana, the something else. So that's more akin to the case of the doctor versus the murderer. Right? Whereas where there are two things you could be doing. You could be blowing the shofar simply to hear the call for yourself. You want to hear the call. Which would seem to be close to the basic tzur of the mitzvah, right? The shmoa kol shofar, without taking purpose into account, right? Take purpose out of it. I don't care why you want to hear the call right now. I'm not interested in if it's because you think it's a melodious sound or if you want to be yotzei. That's purpose. We're not interested in purpose now, right? We just want to know what you're doing. We want to know what you're doing. Correct? So are you blowing you could be blowing the shofar to hear the sound. Or you could be blowing the shofar to scare away. Uh-oh, whose car is getting taped over there? In there? You getting taped again?
I
wasn't
getting towed.
No, you pulled off the sticker the first time.
Oh, no, it was recorded in their system.
Oh yeah.
It's not like they have to see the sticker and then they know what it is.
So yeah, so that's closer to the that's more similar to that case, right? In other words, the guy is, let's say it's interesting. So there are two gearses in Tokelish here, right?
The shade.
What's that? The shade to scare the shade away. What was it?
Ria.
It's a big difference, right? It's a big difference. But Rashi seems to have changed his pshat, by the way. So in this Gemara, he seems to learn like Tosis in this Gemara, on Shema. Right? Sounds like he's not reading it right. Right. But anyway.
Isn't the point we just carry into some of the purpose? Like, why don't you like?
The shade, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you could say there's a big difference. So one of them is just a question of purpose. Why do I want to hear this noise? Do I want to hear the noise because it's a mitzvah to hear the noise, or do I want to hear the noise because I like to hear the noise? Right, that's motivation.
But you do it enough for the mitzvah.
That's true. But in terms of the action, you can say both of them are the same. You can say both of them are the same activity. What's the activity of the mitzvah of shofar producing the call to be heard? Just like right, that's the same activity. Now you could say I produce the call to be heard, but not because I want a mitzvah, because I want to just hear the call, right? So then the only difference between those two cases is purpose, right? Goal. What do I hope to achieve by hearing this sound? So I hope to achieve a general yeshiva das, or do I hope to achieve a mitzvah? But everything other than that is exactly the same, right? I'm motivated, and my kavana and my will is to produce a sound for the purpose of hearing it. As opposed to if I'm tokea, let's say, what's the other case? What's the scare away shade? Or to practice my abilities, right? Then you can say, what? I don't want the call, really. I don't really want the call. I'm not really interested. That's not really my will. My will is really... I don't want to produce the call because I want to hear call now. Right, that's not my purpose. It's not that I want the entity of call. It's that I want to tune up my lips. I want to strengthen my lips. Ultimately, it's to produce a call at some future event. But right now, it's not to produce the call. The call is not... The sound that emerges is not the product that I really want. The product is here. Right? What am I working on? What am I really working on? Am I working on the... Yeah, it's a little confusing at this point, right?
I thought it was that like you were trying to get the sound right. You're saying that it's just the strength that you...
I'm not trying to get the sound right now. Not now.
You're reading, right?
But let's take the case of Kriya Shema, for instance. So it's possible to say like that by Kriya Shema, right? That Rashi was saying in Brachos that if he's korei lahagia, right? It's a different process. He's not, if his kavana is lahagia, then he's not in the same. It's true, both of them be co-rei for the content and to be co-rei lagia are built on the same action, but they're not the same activity. Right? It's like the two cuts of the knife are the same action, but not the same activity. So it could be that Rashi was learning that way over there, that in order to, even without Mitzvah, even Mrs. Ainsri Chaskavana, right? But the mice of the mitzvah has to be your the activity that you're using. If you're just using it for another thing, then that's not then you're not even then you're lacking even in doing the mice. Right?
Why do you never mention misasek?
Why don't they use the word misasek? Does he? Some of them do, right? Rashi doesn't use it. Does Rashi? I don't know. But other Rishonim do. I don't know. It's a good question. Let's just think about this one question here. All right. Let's think it over, okay? But one second. The Inyan. Then we'll, all right, let me leave you with this one chakir here. Let's take the side of the Mrs. Svichas Kavana. Okay. What are the two possibilities? Why Mitzvah Srichas Kavana? Anybody want to know? Is there a Chakira we can... on the two sides, two possibilities? Any possibilities? For the action, okay. Okay, so one side is, no, since we see that there's a connection between the Gavra and the Maisa, right? And we're saying Mitzvahs... We're saying kavana. In some cases, you have to bring them closer together, but you could say it's in terms of the one side. Say the mitzvahs you need a complete agreement between the gavra and the maisa to make it the proper action, right? Mitzvahs kavana to make it the proper action. Or is there another side? Huh? No, we know you're not, you know that. The question is, why you're not? What are you lacking? So one side is you're lacking in terms of the action, as far as the action. What's the other side?
I think it's in the Gavra.
Inside of the Gavra. Why not? What's wrong with that? So what does that mean, lacking inside of the insofar as the Gavra? Huh?
the first time, just can't connect the gobbler to the mice.
First, the first lie is that you're not doing the right type of action. You're not doing the right type of action. Action, the action of mitzvah requires even the right purpose in mind. It's not the right action. Right? It needs not only kavana of the particular action, but the whole activity. But part of that activity is mitzvah too. You don't realize doing mitzvah, you're not properly defining the whole activity. The other way is, would seem to be that they're saying that mitzvah strichas kavana. Why? Because the ikar of mitzvah is. It's a certain type. Mitzvah is a certain type of an action. It's a devotional act. That's part of the ikar. It's a devotional act. It's more similar to kinyan. The whole inyan of mitzvah is more similar to kinyan. That mitzvah srichos kavana means that it could be, this is just a logical possibility, that what are you lacking? You're lacking the gavra. Why? Because what's the ikar of a mitzvah? Obedience. Can't be obedient without the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah. You can do all of the actions. You can be involved in the activity. Right? Everything. You can do everything. But the obedience. It's just not possible.
Is that really the gavra, or is that the maisa?
Well, that means to say that the maisa is not, that the ikar of the maisa is the what it reflects. Right? Or it's saying that the whole thing is a certain type of a maisa, that mitzvah is a certain kind of a maisa. I mean, that's a question of, huh? Can you say both? They're not contradictory. But the difference, but it might be that if you, which side you take might have a difference on how you learn mitzvahs ein srichas kavana. You say mitzvahs ein srichas kavana is mitzvahs srichas kavana minus kavana. Could come out differently. All right, let's think it over a little.